Support for Here and Now comes from BetterHelp, committed to supporting mental health through therapy. Clients are matched with one of 25,000 therapists and can communicate via video, chat, or phone at betterhelp.com/public.
This week, five Massachusetts teens appeared in a courtroom, all admitted guilt, and were sentenced to probation and community service for the bullying that led their 15-year-old classmate Phoebe Prince to commit suicide. One of those teens was Sean Mulvihill. Phoebe's mother mentioned him in her victim statement.
Phoebe sought release from the unbearable pain Sean Mulvihill caused her. Her final text messages were about Sean and the girls that tormented her. She wrote, "I think Sean condoning this is one of the final nails in my coffin. I can't take much more. And it would be easier if he or any one of them handed me a noose."
Quite a tearful week in that courtroom. The Prince case led states, including Massachusetts, to re-examine bullying. This week, California is giving nearly $1 million in grants to 12 local districts to institute anti-bullying programs. In New Hampshire, a measure to limit to a school's role in bullying to just the school grounds failed. And lawmakers in Texas gave final approval to a bill that defines bullying as including cyberbullying. Nancy Willard is director of the Center for Safe and Responsible Internet Use. Nancy, we know that fight in New Hampshire to limit the reach of bullying laws to within the school walls failed. But you've been following this kind of debate in Washington and Oregon. What's going on there?
Washington and Oregon, I live in Oregon, were some of the first states to change their bullying prevention statutes to also incorporate cyberbullying. The challenge is, what do we do when we know that a significant number of these incidents of cyberbullying actually are occurring when students are off campus? You know, I mean, it used to be when you were bullied, it was at school and you went home, and that was a relatively safe sanctuary. Now what's happening with the 24/7 electronic communications is that sometimes this cruelty can be occurring while students are off campus. So the question is, what is the legal authority of school officials to respond to those incidents that are occurring off campus?
Well, what's the debate? We know the ACLU is involved, and right, they say that this is free speech, that people have a right to free speech off campus.
Yeah, the ACLU has consistently taken the perspective that when students are off campus, school officials have no authority. And the ACLU has consistently failed to convince the court that this should be the standard. The court standard consistently in every single case has been, regardless of the origin of student speech, and that includes off-campus speech, if the impact of that speech is at school and that impact is significant, that is, it has or reasonably could cause a substantial disruption at school or interference with the right of any other student to be secure at school, then school officials clearly have the legal authority to respond.
Well, in New Hampshire, the debate was not just about free speech. It was also about parental rights. There were some people who said schools have no right to extend their reach beyond the walls and into the homes and the computers, which is where cyberbullying happened. As we said, that effort to remove that jurisdiction of the schools was defeated. But you point out something interesting, that there is debate, interesting debate about when schools should inform parents about bullying. Why is that?
Basically, the Massachusetts law says you need to inform parents, but gives a window of time that the school official can decide not to immediately inform parents. This is a very wise provision because there is research, including research that just came out of Massachusetts, that indicates that in many situations, about a quarter of the situations, the young people who are involved in a bullying situation at school, either as the victim or the aggressor, also report that there is violence in their home. That is, that these young people are being victimized in their home. Mm-hmm. So if you have a situation where the incident at school gives rise to concern that this student is being abused at home, you want the time to be able to effectively investigate that before talking with the parents.
There's also some other interesting research that all of this obviously is being designed to try to help kids, but often it doesn't. Tell us about that.
There are two very concerning studies. One is the Youth Voice Project. They've been interviewing students or surveying students. And what they have found that students who reported that they were subjected to moderate to very severe bullying at school, only 42% of them actually reported the incident at school. But more concerning, in only 34% of the cases, did it get better after they reported to school. And in fact, in 29% of the situations, it got worse after they reported.
That's very disturbing information.
Yeah, because if the school official does not intervene effectively, that then leaves the young person totally feeling helpless. And if they're feeling helpless, they could go into committing an act of violence or not come to school, or that could lead to suicide. It's that helplessness. And that's really the critical issue that we need to get. Many of these laws are now focusing on increasing reporting, but they're not yet focusing enough on what is the effectiveness of the response.
You also want to get out that you think there's another level that has to be added here, another layer, which is teaching kids how to be on the front lines when they see bullying. Tell us more about that.
The majority of the focus needs to be on helping young people. If they witness an event like this, are they going to become a hurtful participant? Are they going to remain a passive observer? Or can they become a helpful ally? And we really need to have a very strong focus on helping young people gain the skills that they need to be able to intervene, to try to get these situations stopped, or to know the importance of reporting.
In other words, it's just if it's a popular kid in class and they see another kid being bullied online in, you know, one of these social networking sites, it's sometimes no skin off that kid's back to jump in and say, hey, cut it out. It's simple as that?
Yeah. Actually, my daughter did that when she was a freshman. She saw a We Hate so-and-so group. She reported it to me. I sent an abuse report in, but she also joined this group and posted a public protest, say, hey, this is not okay for you to be doing. There were some older students in that group who had been posting hurtful material. When one of them saw her at school, he high-fived her. He said, you're Allie Willard. Good job. Young people actually look up and really respect those who step in and help others. And that's the message we need to get across.
That's Nancy Willard, Director of the Center for Safe and Responsible Internet Use. Nancy, thanks so much.
You're very welcome.